NBA Strayer. How are you going? That's right, it's NBA Strayer. It's Thursday, March 11.
What?
That's right, I've had a couple of days off, and I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that booze money. Yeah. Here in Larryama Studios, back in Larryama Studios after a sojourn down to Casa del Amor Studios in Lawn. That was fun. And we're here, back to give you all the ins and outs of the NBA season, the second half of the NBA season. Just started after the All-Star break. While repping Australia a little bit, that's what we do here. And we don't take things too seriously, do we? We leave that to the nerds. And geez, they love taking shit seriously. Anyway, we are back. We've got trade requests, rumors flying thick and fast, racial slurs, if you're Myers Leonard. Jesus. More shitty jerseys for me to yell about. Plus today, we get to do some halfway mark awards. Who's the MVP, man? Oh, I've got a couple of ideas. And, because there's only two games, we're going to do the NBA Australia. Hang on, should I bother watching these blokes' power rankings? Love the power rankings. And also, we'll talk about the two games that happened today. So a couple of nice little game reps for you. But also, that's not a knife, old mate. No mate, spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball, of course. A raft of yeah nahs, the unpopular opinion of the day, and our back takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. There's also the Australian Player Watch, and it's Thursday, so I think we might throw in just a really quick sweaty, hairy bloke of the week. See how we go. Then we'll preview the huge, huge slate of games for tomorrow, so that'll be fun. Right, we'll finish up with the Diary of Stephen Adams. Sweet as man, eh? All right, episode 566 of NBA Australia. Let's go!
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better watch out for the attack of fucking seemingly... Bro, where were you when the coronavirus did this one? Hey, where were you when this happened, bro? We get it! It's been a year since the NBA shut down, shut the fuck up about it. Like, we've all just sat through a fucking 12 months worth of pandemic. We don't need to sit here and get nostalgic about the fucking first few days or weeks. You know why? Because they fucking sucked. And the entire, like, interceding 12 months, for the most part, have been pretty fucking shitty. You know, on top of the people dying and everything. It's just been a fucking crap time for, like, everybody. So, I don't know. Can we just go easy on the 12 months ago today, man? Adam Silver announced that Rudy Gobert tested positive, and now we're gonna call off. I don't fucking care. We get it. It was a year ago. Let's move on. Let's make sure we stay COVID safe, folks. Right, let's start today's show with the Daily. It's the way we start every show here at NBA Australia, isn't it? The Daily Whip Around? Yeah, it is. We've got some Hall of Fame finalists. That's right, the NBA... Well, the Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame, man. It's got college, the WNBA, and some other stuff, eh? Internationals. You know what? That's great. Because it means we get an Aussie! That's right, Lauren Jackson is up for the Hall of Fame this year. Headlining a very stellar cast. You've got Bill Russell as a coach. Pretty gnarly. Chris Bosh. The old original Raptor himself. Not that he was like an original Toronto Raptor back in 97. Just actually looks like a fucking dinosaur. Paul Pierce. Oh, Pippy Pants Paul Pierce. Tim Hardaway. The better. The elder. There you go. Chris Weber. Weber? Is it pronounced Weber? Yeah, Chris Weber. All I want them to enshrine him as is calling a timeout that he doesn't have and then fucking bitching and moaning and never taking a shot in the last 2 minutes of a game for his entire pro career. Ben Wallace, Yolanda Griffith, Lita Andrews, Marianne Stanley, Michael Cooper, Marquise Johnson, Rick Adelman, and Jay Wright are the other finalists. And obviously, Lauren Jackson, basically the second, what is she, like ranked second all-time, I think, in WARP for the WNBA. Two-time champ. Scoring champ, MVP. She's a fucking gun. We all love Lauren Jackson. She's the best. So that's great and very, very fucking warranted. So let's go, Lauren Jackson. And the question's always going to be asked, geez, is Chris Bosh going to get in there? I think everyone's going to be busy asking, hey, man, is Chris Webber a Hall of Famer? It's like, ugh. Yeah, if you value the fact that he was good, but not great, and that's what the Hall of Fame has basically turned into since we got Mitch Richmond in there. It's like, ah, the Hall of Very Good. Yeah, fantastic. Lauren Jackson, way better than Chris Webber. Right, other news. Boy, it's been a couple of days. What a couple of days. Myers Leonard's out there dropping the Jewish N-word. Fucking hell, Myers. What are you doing, mate? I love that on a Twitch stream out there. Dropping the K-bomb like a fucking moron. Absolute fuck knuckle. The best part of all of this, though, was literally as soon as it came out of his mouth, you could see him trying to grasp the words back in out of the air. He's like, ah, oh, fuck, what have I done? And he's like, manager's caught him. He's like, ah, oh, yeah, you've just ruined your career, you dickhead. He's like, ah, oh, fuck, my wife's called me. I gotta go. See you, bro. Myers, mate. I'm just saying, for a bloke who chose not to kneel and show solidarity with his fucking teammates and acknowledge that a simple statement like Black Lives Matter wasn't a big thing to him, dunno, showing your ass here a bit, fuckhead. What a piece of shit. Myers Leonard, go blow it out your ass. I love it. Look, it was a good apology. It did actually sound like an apology he had written, or at least dictated. And thing is, Miami are like, yeah, cool. It's a good apology. We're going to put it all out. Through our official channels. We're still investigating it. The NBA is still investigating. What's there to investigate? It's pretty fucking loud and clear. He's on a fucking Twitch stream. Drops a K-bomb like a fucking moron. What are you going to do? Suspend him? Can you fucking just do something? Because investigating it seemed pretty fucking dumb. And for a dude who dropped that so very, very easily and clearly, I don't know, mate. His, like, apology of like, hey, man, I didn't realize the hurt it or cause. I was just using it. I barely understand what that word means. Bullshit. Anyone who says that word that fucking easily has used it before in pretty much that same sort of fashion. So, fuck you, Myers Leonard. Go fuck yourself. What a cock knocker. LaMarcus Aldridge. Speaking of cock knockers, the big sook. Mutually agreed to part ways with the Spurs. Oh, yeah. That's mutual in the way that my year 10 girlfriend and I broke up. Needs more wristies. Nah, you're not getting any more. Fuck! but still, look, we'll talk about more of this in year nows, but LaMarcus Aldridge is coming off the bench for three games. Decided, yeah, nah, this isn't for me, 35-year-old LaMarcus Aldridge, in the place where I signed after leaving the Trailblazers because Dame got too famous and I didn't like it there anymore. Now I'm coming off the bench here in San Antonio. I don't think this is the best spot for me. You fucking sook. You giant fucking sook. I mean, LaMarcus, mate, I love it. He's like, oh, I want to go to a contender. Like, the Spurs are right in the middle of the Western Conference playoff fucking race. What an idiot. But we'll talk about more of that shit in here now. Suffice to say, fuck LaMarcus Aldridge. other trade rumors. So, look, they are looking to trade him, not buy him out, which is very smart for the Spurs, small market team. And so, basically, if you want LaMarcus Aldridge, you've got to pony up what, around 20-odd mil if you want to eat a little bit more salary on the back end of some of that. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see who trades for him or what happens. And I'd very much like the Spurs to fucking trade him rather than buy him out. I'm sick of fucking players going, I don't like it here. And then the team going, well, here's $54 million to go away. The Deron fucking Williams corollary. In other news about trades and rumors and whatnot, Big Buddha Carl Larry's been fucking rumored to be on every team. Literally every team. It's like him, Harrison Barnes, Vooch. Well, Lowry and Vooch, their teams are basically coming and going, yeah, look, we don't want to trade him, hey. Like, it's a bit much. Like, Mark Stein came out today and said that the Magic don't want to trade the big Montenegrin or Vooch. And that sound that you just heard when Stein tweeted that was that every delusional fucking Boston fan who thought he was the answer to their fucking woes crying into the cereal that they ate for lunch. Because you know that all the Celtics fans out there are definitely due to, and ladies, who don't mind a bit of cereal for lunch or dinner. I'm not saying I don't. I did the exact same thing yesterday. I had a day off. It was great. I had cereal for lunch. It's gnarly. But Michael Granger, Sportsnet as well, is like, nah, Kyle Lowry's not getting traded, man. Kyle Lowry's not getting traded, eh? Look, if the fucking offer is correct, Kyle Lowry's getting traded. I understand that he means a lot to Toronto, but at the same time, they're in Tampa Bay. Masai's like, what can I get for him? Fuck that? Awesome. Yeah, see you, Kyle. It's been awesome. Similar vibes for Vooch. Because I don't know about you, but this is a bit of, I don't know, exactly what you should do while negotiating. Yeah, I don't want to sell this. How about for this much? Oh, yeah. I'll have a look. Simple stuff. What about Kevin Durant and Blake Griffin? Are they going to play for the Nets tomorrow, Jimmy? Yeah, nah, they're not. KD and Blake. Look, Blake's now officially a Brooklyn Net. That's kind of gnarly. And it is funny seeing everyone get worked. Oh, it's over. It's over. Oh, it's over. Blake's a Net. People who say that have very clearly not watched basketball in the last year and a half. Yeesh. But I would love to see, as mentioned on Monday's show, Blake Griffin, Kaiser Soze motherfuckers like, oh yeah, my knee's been really sore. Leaving Detroit and rocks up to Brooklyn and go, what knee? Oh yeah, the sore one. Yeah, it's all right now. Thing is, Blake's actually dealing with a knee. Hopefully he's all right. Marcus Smart! Great news for Boston fans, even if they're not allowed to get Vooch, apparently, according to Marcus Stein. Marcus Smart should be back tomorrow, which is pretty gnarly. Good job. COVID news. The Raptors are going to be without the OG Anunoby, Malachi Flynn, Pascal Siakam, and Freddie VanVleet, the Fighting VanVleet, still in the safety protocols, so they won't be playing against Atlanta tomorrow. And the same goes for Big Simo, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid, who probably won't be able to play until basically our Saturday. Tough scenes. And also the NBA announced that of the 465 players tested league-wide last week, since March 3, two new players have returned positive tests. It's almost like there's still a pandemic out there or something. Go figure. Right! Do you want to do some power rankings? Let's do some power rankings. Oh, I fucking love power rankings. Oh, who's in power? Where's the power? Oh, power. Let's do it. Power rankings! Power rankings! That's right. It's the halfway mark. Geez, should I bother watching these blokes? NBA Australia power rankings halfway through this season. Remember, 72-game slate, so most teams are at around 36-odd games. And halfway through, the team first cab off the rank, they were 30th last time we did these. It's still the Timberwolves, and 29 is still the Detroit Basketball Pistons, because boy fucking howdy, is there zero inclination I have on watching either of those teams play. Especially at the moment, the Wolves are getting fucking blown out every game under the new coach Chris Finch. And the Pistons just lost Blake Griffin, obviously. And are like, yeah, look, we're not here to win games, to be honest. And the Wolves are like, shit, we're going to give our fucking pick to the goddamn Warriors if it's not like top three. What are we doing? We've got to keep losing. Cats just like having the year from fucking hell. It's all brutal. 28, Houston, similar vibes. See, Houston have vacillated wildly up and down these power rankings this year because John Wall, Victor Oladipo, Boogie. It was like fun stuff. Christian Wood sprained his ankle and they've lost 13 straight. And John Wall has been playing better. That's fine. But it's not really translating into wins, is it? Obviously. So, tough. They're really tough to watch. Like, Jayshon Tate might be the best young player that isn't named Christian Wood on this team. That's fucking wild. Houston should be like peddling Eric Gordon, John Wally Wall, Victor Oladipo to anybody who'll listen and take them. Because they've got to tank hard. Because again, there's another team that has to give up their pick. If it falls in, if it's in the top four, they get to keep it. If it's outside of that, they're fucked. Tough scenes for Houston. Orlando at 27. We're not going to trade Vooch, man. Oh, we're just a stellar, awesome team with him. Fuck off. Orlando suck. Can't watch them. Fournier, Vooch, T-Rouse. Air Gordon still out. I don't know, man. If Cole Anthony gets back soon, they'll be a little bit more watchable. But otherwise, yeah, nah, good. OKC at 26, just because, look, they play teams really tough. Shai Redick-Gilchrist-Alexander's awesome, but it's a lot of young dudes missing a lot of shots otherwise. But they do play hard. But yeah, there's nothing fucking over the top where you're like, this'll be fun. Atlanta, 25. Gee, Jimmy, that's low. Yeah, it's just Atlanta aren't much fun to watch. Sue me. They're not. Trae Young, dribble, dribble, dribble. Oh, we might be able to throw a lob to Clint Capela or John Collins. That's a title cocktail. Gallo going off for like a million threes is always fun. But look, the thing is, Atlanta might have gotten through the toughest stretch of their season where without Bogdan, with Gallo coming back, working himself back into form, maybe it'll click in the second half. They're still within punching distance of the, you know, the top bit of the East. They're still in like basically within spitting distance of a play-in spot. But geez, they're a punish to watch. It's a lot of Trae Young. Dribble, 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 dribble. Ah, here you go. And it's like, all right, thanks, Trae. Thanks, man. The Raptors are at 24. This is more of a display of like they've been hit by COVID in and out just so many different times that it's hard to get them into a bit of a groove. And when they've been in a groove, they've been fun. But that lasted like basically, what, a 12-game stretch or so? So they're pretty low down the rankings at the moment just because you never know who's going to be playing for them at the moment. They'll be out for a little bit longer too, all the OGs and the Freddie Van Vliet, etc. So I'm going to put the Raps at 24 just because some of those games are rough watching. 23, the Cavs. Now there's a team that can be wildly fun to watch some nights. The Sex Man, Darius Rucker Garland, love it. Isaac Okoro just fucking causing havoc. Thing is, it's not going to get any higher than 23. The Sex Man is fun. Darius Rucker, Judy Garland, fun. No one else in this team is that much fun. Isaac Okoro is a fucking gun. I love him. But geez, tough scenes elsewise. 22, the Wiz. Beal and Rusty and fucking Latvian Ryan Anderson. Yeah. That's about enough said because there's nothing else going on in Wizard Land. It's like, oh, we won a bunch of games finally. They had an 8-3 run. That was awesome. And then watching them today against the Grizzlies, you're like, oh, yeah, I don't really like watching the Wizards. Beal is like one of the least inspiring good players out there. Sacramento at 21. They were really high in the first edition of this because all of their games were fucking off the chain. Now all their games are off the chain by like how many of them they can lose. Like Sacramento, like, hey, watch us lose this one. You're like, oh, geez, that sucked for you guys. Chicago are at 20. Kobe White and Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine. Pretty fun times. But I need, that's a girl, Lowry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen, to get back. And just to see Billy Donovan, Billy D, get out there, coach him up, do a good job, and get them actually firing on all cylinders and using all the talent on this team. But at the moment, they're sort of just muddling around, winning some random games because Zachy Cakes has been playing his ass off. Wendell's back as well. But yeah, need a little bit more out of Chicago. I reckon there's a pretty big upside in Chicago in having a fun second half of the season if they get all their dudes healthy. The Spurs are at 19. They've been more fun than you'd expect. They're doing really well. They're the seventh seed at the moment. They're kind of fun. DeJounte Murray is like sneaky awesome. The young dudes are fun. Calder Johnson and co are fun. But as a whole, it's like still a little bit not wildly inspiring. 18 is Memphis. And they're just a little bit above the Spurs because, again, without Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., Memphis and co just play their guts out. And it's a similar vibe to the Spurs, but Ja Morant just gives Memphis a little something else. You know what I'm saying? And my name is Jonas Valanciunas. Also, just, well, you know, punk fools. So Memphis are ahead of the Spurs. 17, Miami. A lot of this is to do with Jimmy Butler torching shit late and being awesome to watch. And bam, you know, slowly but surely sort of figuring out what he should do. He's had an up and down year as Bam. But look, Miami's still pretty. Like, when they pop up, you're like, oh, yeah, that'll be a good game. 16, Indy. Talk about precipitous drops. Indy were right up there because they had been fucking awesome fun to watch. You had the Souvlaki King. You had Miles Turner. But since the Victor Oladipo trade, oh, geez. Not great. Not great. El Presidente, Malcolm Brogdon. Talk about up and down players. Jeez. Souvlaki King got himself an all-star berth, but yikes. Indy have not been fun to watch. 15, I've still got Boston just because, again, talk about fucking teams decimated by injuries and how hard it is to watch them game in, game out. It's like, is this a good Kemba game? Fingers crossed. And if it is, they're in it. If it's not, they're going to lose. Tatum and Brown as well. Look, Brown's a fun watch. Tatum, I don't know, man. Don't know. 14, Charlotte. Now, there's a fun team. Malik Monk, LaMelo, Terry Rozier. Awesome times. Gordy Hayward. What a redemption story there. Make America Gordon again, America. 13, the Knickerbockers of New York City, just because Julius Randle and co. are the fun story, I reckon. Or probably the first season. Or the first half of the season. They're just fun. It's like, look at the Knicks. They think they're real boys. Aww. Look, they think they're people. They think they're a basketball team. It's cute. Aww, it's not, but I fucking love it. I mentioned this, I think, maybe on Monday's show. Or maybe Friday, last Friday's. The Knicks. The NBA is always better when the Knicks are good. Or at least not shit. You know, not sad is my point. And the Knicks aren't sad, so that's fun. The Clippers are at 12 just because, I don't know, man, there's not a giant amount of joy to be had in watching poor George and Kawhi. But still, like, it's all right, you know? They're still pretty good, and then they can turn it on, you're like, fuck, this isn't bad. And the Clippers, look, the storylines are fun, therefore they're fun to watch. Same goes for 11, the Bucks. Because we kind of know what to expect from the Bucks now, but they do play randomly fun games here and there. But, again, Giroux, Giannis, Middleton. There's not a lot of joy in that. And the same goes for the Jazz, number 10. They might be the best team in the West right now, the best team in the NBA. But they're 10th on this because if you give me the chance, it's like, Jimmy, who do you want to watch? Do you want to watch New Orleans or do you want to watch the Jazz? I'm like, I kind of watch New Orleans because who fucking knows what's going to happen? Whereas the Jazz, you pretty much know what's going to happen. They're going to be excellent. They're going to be very well coached. They're going to play very well. And I'm still going to hate Donovan Mitchell. Portland are at 9 just because Dame time. Dame time, Dame time, Dame time, Dame time. You get the Melo sideshow as well, which is always great. But they might have CJ McCollum and Nurk coming back in the very near future. And watch out, Portland. I mean, they're still 5th in the West. It's crazy. Good on them. And the next team is Golden State, number 8. Same vibes, even though they're right down in 10th in the West at the moment. But they're a great watch because you never know what you're going to get. It's fucking Forrest Gump over here. It's like, oh shit, what's in this box of chocolates? Is it a shitty Draymond Green game where he's going to show his basketball IQ and get kicked out of another game or cost them a game against Charlotte? I don't know, but Steph might drop 60. I'm going to watch. 7, Denver is the Joker. Big sexy. He's fun as shit. 6, the Lakers. Much higher when they have AD, much lower without AD. Because LeBron and AD is awesome. LeBron by himself with a bunch of fucking, you know, Kyle Kuzmas. Yeah, not as much fun, but they're still at 6. They're still very good. Pelicans at 5 because, look, Zion is a fucking electric presence on the court. Spindles Ingram does fun shit. Lonzo has been playing out his ass, and I'm loving it. And the Pels, game to game, there's probably not a bigger enigma in the NBA right now than the Pels. You could tune in. They could win by 20. They could lose by 20. Phoenix are at number 4 because they're awesome. Booker, CP3, DeAndre Ayton. Trying my hardest not to say DeAndre Drummond Ayton, like I did last year. Ayton was good in the first little bit here and there. Want to see better. Phoenix at 4. Number 3, Philly. With Embiid, with Simo, with Tobias Harris. There's something about some of these Sixers games where you're like, this is awesome fun. It's weird. Like, it's like, oh yeah, that's what it's called, making three-pointers. And they still don't make enough. They need to add more shooting. They need more threes. But I love Philly. They're awesome, fun to watch. Number 2, Dallas. We saw it today. We're going to talk about it in a second. But when they're clicking and you've got the extreme Zinger meal.
Extreme Zinger meal.
And Luka Magic going, whoo, Dallas are awesome fun. But number 1 is Brooklyn. Back-to-back ones so far just because game-to-game, Kyrie, Harden, Joey Harris, shit gets wild. And they've just added Blake Griffin. There is no way they're not going to be wildly weird and fun and crazy to watch. So there you go. 30-1 in the power rankings of should I bother watching this game with this team? Dunskies. Now, should we take a break and then do the Gary and Rash? We should, because Jimmy's fucking out of breath. Jimmy, you fat bastard, get better at this. Oh, I'll try. We'll be back in a second with the game wraps right after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. There you go. How was that? Was that all right? Power rankings of who you should watch and who you shouldn't.
Love it.
We'll do some awards later in year nas, etc. So, game wraps, though.
Game wraps, 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 game wraps.
Game wraps. Wizards versus the Grizzlies. 127-112. The Grizzlies win. In a really fun game. But Jimmy, they won by 15. Yeah, this is two weirdly kind of similar bad but not good but not great but kind of good teams. And the Grizzlies are the better team. And it was a weird game too. The Grizz had a 19-point lead in this in the second quarter. Gave it all up to the point where the Wizards got ahead in the third quarter. But then the Grizz closed out the third quarter on a really, really tough run and continued that in the fourth quarter and just absolutely fucking bodied the Wizards in the fourth. It was awesome. And it was a really fun sort of display of the Grizzlies just like slapping a team down, going, ah, fuck off, boom. And away they went. So they got to the rim at will, absolutely decimated them there. They had 78 points in the paint to 48. And you can't tell me that that's not pretty important there, bruh. Pretty important, eh? So pretty good. The Wizards only shot 40% though. And that's really what fucked them. Beal and Rusty shot like shit. Beal shot 6 of 22 from the floor, 1 of 8 from downtown. Rusty missed all 3 of his 3s. He went 10 of 19 overall. Rusty ends up with 20 points, 10 assists, 5 rebounds. Beal has 21 points, but on 22 shots, yeah, not going to win that game. Davis Bertans, hello. Latvian Ryan Anderson, 3 of 7 from downtown for his 13 points. That's worth $80 million. Denny Avdija, 13 and 6. He went 3 of 5 from downtown. He looked pretty good, so, but not much else going on for the Wiz in this one. It's like, wow. There's a lot of Robin Lopez out there. Jeez. For the Grizzlies, my name is Jonas. Absolutely fucking punished the Wiz. 29 and 20 he went for. 29 and 20. He had 4 blocks as well. He was awesome. Ja Morant went 21, 6 and 10. Shot 7 of 14 as well. He was great. He's the first Grizzlies player to attempt at least 10 free throws in 3 straight games since Powell. Gasol did it back in... what, 2006? Jesus, back in March 2006. Crazy. But Ja, just dropping 21 and 10. Ain't no worries. Desmond Bane. Huge career high game for him. 20 points, went 5-8 from downtown. Justice Winslow, still finding his legs. This is the Justice of old, right? 4 of 13 shooting. 9 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Does a little bit of everything. And then he'll have a really good game tomorrow where he shoots like 7 of 8 or something. De'Anthony Melton had 11 points. Some big buckets in that run to get them right back over the top. But the big one in this one was for the Grizz. Dylan Brooks only had 10 points in 25 minutes. And the Grizzlies won. The correlating statistics of like, you know, when Dylan Brooks only has 10 points and the Grizzlies win, it's like got to be fucking basically 38 to 1. So good job by the Grizz. Jonas absolutely stepping up. Washington now 14 and 21. Memphis 17 and 16. And then Dallas beat the old San Antonio Spurs, the San Antonio Banderas Spurs. This is a, you know, love a good Texas showdown. This was a really fun game. It was tied with under 8 minutes to go in the fourth. And then boom, the Mavs gave them the clamps. The Spurs just didn't score for like 4 minutes. It was crazy. And for the Mavs, look, if you're a Mavs fan, you've got to be absolutely fucking stoked to watch this game, because the way they closed out was really, 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 really impressive. It was probably Extreme Zingemil's best game as a Mav.
Extreme Zingemil.
This season, at least. And, like, Luka hit 2 insane shots down the stretch, 1 off the glass, and 1 just as a fuck you 3 after he turned DeJounte Murray inside out. And they really, really, really made a very obvious effort to close this out, run their stuff properly, and with everybody clicking, it just came easily, which is incredible. Look, it's really helpful that the Zinger was the supercharged Zinger Burger today.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
But at the same time, like, you can see just the potential in this team, right? Like, all their fucking length, the sheer fucking size of KP sometimes, and then Luka helping out down the stretch. But the Zinger hit a bunch of threes down the stretch, buried the Spurs. Luka did the same thing. And you're like, wow, this is pretty cool. And the Spurs had zero answers. Like, DeMar couldn't do it. DeJounte Murray had a bad shooting night, and it was all over. DeMar had 30 and 11. That's 11 assists, 0 rebounds. Interesting. 4 steals, though. He shot 12 and 19, 1 and 1 from downtown. DeJounte Murray, though, 5 of 15, as mentioned. 11 points, 5 rebounds. Calvin Johnson, 12 points and 4 rebounds. Part of that young Spurs core, but he did miss a pretty bad shot late when they were still within a bit of a chance, about 2 minutes left, probably to give them a shot down 8, and he just threw one off the glass, and it was gross. And Pop was losing his mind. Rudy had 13 points, but it came on 4 of 12 shooting. Yeah, not going to happen. Lonnie Walker was pretty good too. 18 minutes, he shot 5 of 8, had 12 points. Patty was very good as well. We'll talk about that in the Australian Player Watch. Just not enough there for the Spurs though. The Mavs shot 52% from the floor. Pretty bloody good. Luka had his 33rd career triple-double. He had 22, 12, and 12. He did shoot 9 of 20 and 2 of 10 from 3. But one of those 3s was absolutely massive late. He had 6 turnovers, but still played a really controlled game, I feel. It was one of those ones where, like, a couple of those shots weren't dropping, and then he's like, you know what? They're going to go. He took like one of those fucking prayer threes from like the left elbow 3-point spot. And it's like, oh, step back, clank. And you're like, oh shit, that would have been the dagger. Thing is, like 20 seconds later, came back down, took it from the other side, turned DeJounte Murray inside out, dagger. Yeah. So pretty cool. The Extreme Zinger Meal.
Extreme Zinger Meal.
Was extreme. 28 and 14. He was incredible. Absolutely amazing. What a game. 11 of 17 shooting, 2 of 5 from downtown. He was great. Richo had 12 points. Hardaway the Lesser had 9 points. Big Willie Cauley Steinsaler at 11. No, 10. And like shoved Derek White into, I believe, Keldon Johnson on a drive, which is pretty funny. And they spent 20 minutes fucking deciding whether or not it was a flagrant one. It's like, just fucking call it. The refs, you're the fucking worst. But either way, Mavs, a really, really, really heartening win for them. This is the game where you feel like at times they would have blown it, but they didn't. So good job. San Antonio, 18 and 15. Dallas, 19 and 16. And that's it for the game wraps. Let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
My name is Jonas. I'm carrying the... Oh, 29 and 20, great game, but come on. I really, really, really loved watching the Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
I really enjoyed this game because we got a really awesome showcase of his sort of inside-outside offense and using his fucking body on D. It was great to see. The thing is, you got to remember, it's against San Antonio. And they are obviously, you know, no longer playing our man LaMarcus Aldridge because
they're mutually deciding to find a trade partner to move LaMarcus on.
So he's going up against Teenage Mutant Jakob Poeltl and, like, Trey Lyles. This is the thing. The Spurs have, like, zero fucking size on this team. So my name is Jonas. Absolutely fucking toweling Washington against Rolo and co. It was a little bit probably more impressive, but I really enjoyed the Zingers showcasing of like, well, look, if there's a team that's smaller than me, I can beat the shit out of them. That's exactly what he's did. It's exactly what he did do. 28 and 14, 11 of 17 from the floor. There was a couple of times they threw it to him in the post. He, you know, would sort of do a weird sort of turnaround fadeaway, and you're like, oh, that's not a good shot, and clank. The 2 of 5 from 3, but on D, just using his size, it was really good and fun. Because in a similar way to when the Knicks aren't sad, when the Extreme Zinger Meal, is playing really well, the NBA is just a much more fun place. You know? So that's great. I'm really, really happy with that game. That was awesome. Good job, Extreme Zinger Meal. Stoked on it. Who was Spud of the Night, though? Jimmy!
Spud of the night.
Hardaway the Lesser. Tough scenes there for old Tim. 9 points on 3 of 11 shooting, 1 of 6 from downtown, but he did have a thunderous dunk, so that was pretty cool. So I'm going to give this one to Derek White. Derek White. 1 of 8 from the floor. Yeesh! 0 of 4 from downtown. Ends up with 6 points because he hit 4 of 4 from the free throw line. 1 assist, 0 rebounds, and 2 turnovers. He was a minus 17 in a game that they lost by 11. Derek, mate. Tough. That's some Spud-worthy stuff. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, this is Myers Leonard. It's so using an anti-Semitic slur, it's interesting because people are like, oh, geez, when Stephen Jackson does it, you don't all lose your mind. Well, yeah, people lost their minds about Stephen Jackson doing it. Same time, you know, Stephen Jackson getting rightly dragged for anti-Semitic comments, etc. So is Myers Leonard. And it's nice to see that nobody came out in support of Myers Leonard because you'd be anti-Semitic if you did, you fucking moron. So Myers Leonard, definitely old mate, no mates, and deserves it because he's a wanker. And basically a shoo-in for dickhead of the week tomorrow, isn't he? Nice one. What a pantsing of the night, though.
Fatty, fat, 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 fatty, fatty, fat, fat.
Fatty, fatty, fat, fat. Dejounte Murray got turned inside out and turned all about by Luka Doncic, who then dropped the three. That was pretty great to see. Pretty fun one, too. But Latvian Ryan Anderson, Davis Bertans. Just his poor, dumb, Amish bearded face. Because my name is Jonas just dunked all over the top of him and just put him in a... Get him a body bag, Dad! Well, get him a body bag, Johnny. There you go. Davis Bertans needed a body bag because Jonas just fucking put him in one. Oh, buried him. Just wrapped his arm basically around his head, put him in a fucking chokehold and dunked on him. It was great. Sucked in Latvian Ryan Anderson. That's $80 million, man. You got towed by My Name is Jonas. Whoosh. But who was better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. He is at the moment, which is kind of nice to see. But I want to give this one today, better than Lonzo Ball, to Desmond Bane.
Desmond Bane. He was born in the darkness. You only just reside there.
Career high. Career high 20 points today. Thing is, he's also been absolutely fucking shredding this season. What is he, like 30-odd games into his rookie season, obviously. Memphis have played a few less, so 30-odd games. And Desmond Bane is absolutely fucking tearing it up. He's shooting the shit out of the ball. He's out there just nailing in 44.3% of his threes. And then today goes 5 of 8 from downtown, chucks in 20 points, the career high. He was awesome. And he was a big part of why the Grizzlies came back and then kept a foot on the throat of the Wiz late. He just knocked in a couple of shots. You're like, Jesus, Bane's got a little bit of everything. And it's really fun to see. So I'm going to give this one to Desmond Bane. He was real fucking good for the Grizz. And look, every time he plays really, like, he's starting. He shot 7 of 13 overall. He had 4 rebounds and an assist and a steal as well. And he was a gun. On a day where Dylan Brooks is like, oh, don't have it really today, Desmond Bane's like, all right, fellas, I got this one. Gonna be all right. Don't worry about it. And if they're gonna play Jar, Dylan Brooks, and Desmond Bane together, it's a pretty small lineup, and it didn't matter because Desmond Bane was knocking in everything. Jar was playing out of his skin, and My Name is Jonas was fucking dunking literally all over the top of Davis Bertans. So good stuff. But I love me some Desmond Bane. Not bloody bad for the 30th pick in the draft. So good shit on you, Desmond Bane. Right, let's do some YNAS right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, time for some Yeah Nahs. And the NBA Australia Yeah Nahs are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Nine Brewing. That's right, if you're in Melbourne, got some holidays coming up. What do we got? Easter, Anzac Day, footy's back. Can't wait. Nothing quite like sitting around drinking some Red Devils, watching some footy, watching some basketball. Ah, it's perfection, isn't it? And the best bit is, if you get your booze from thedailyliquor.com, you can get a free six-pack with the code STRAYA. How good's that? Love the Red Devils, the Dos Blocos XPA. Thing is, if you go to thedailyliquor.com, they've got a huge array of beers and a huge array of wines and cocktails and stuff to get your lips on, and they're the best. So no one has to miss out. Just make sure you're over 18, of course. And if you're in the Melbourne metro area, it's same-day delivery before noon. How good is that? So go smash thedailyliquor.com right now. Smash the code STRAYA. Buy a sixer, buy a bottle of wine, buy some cocktails, whatever. Get a free sixer on your mate, Jimmy. Love it. Right. Let's do some Yeah Nahs. And before we do that, guess what? Going to have a pretty fun thing for you next week. I mentioned on Monday's show we'll have an announcement today. And we do. We're partnering with We Are, which is a brand new little startup that's looking at doing sort of community fundraising. And the way it does that, it's not quite in the same... Well, basically, you can do it in a multitude of ways, which is why it's so much fun. You can do raffles. You can do the sort of traditional crowdfunding, etc. like that. But We Are and NBA Australia are partnering up. We're going to do a raffle. Just a fucking good old-fashioned raffle. But the cool thing is there's no fucking meat tray that you walk away with. We've got some massive fucking prize packs, you know, some tickets to some fucking premium tickets to the NBL, KO subscriptions, fucking merch packs from NBA Australia, a whole bunch of shit. So, we are, and NBA Australia going to be partnering up. You'll be hearing a lot more about this in the next couple of weeks. We're going to be only running it for a little while, but we are is a great platform. We love it. And it's really fucking easy to use. So if you're part of a community, sort of sporting club, social club, etc., it's a really, really, really easy way to get rid of fucking paper tickets and raffles and shit like that and do it in a smarter, easier, more accessible way. So look for more of this later on in the show and also in the coming days. And I think we're going to launch it next week. So it'll be fucking awesome. We are an NBA Australia. Two peas in a pod, man. Two peas in a pod. Right, yeah, Nas, let's do it. Jimmy, should they rename the earned edition jerseys the bin edition because they're all fucking rubbish? Yeah, nah, of fucking course. So the earned edition jerseys. Remember this, at the start of the season, they're like, oh, man, we're going to release these earned edition jerseys for the teams that made the playoffs, man. Tell you what, the NBA has reached saturation point of grey jerseys and shit jersey designs. Of the 16, I would argue that there are about 3 half-decent jerseys going in these earned edition ones. And it's probably, weirdly enough, a couple of ones that you would not expect because it's basically the Magic Men, the Orlando Magics, which is pretty simple and pretty nice. Maybe the Bucks one, which is kind of like basically the same as their current jersey, but with like deer horns on the side and on the shorts. And that's almost it. Like the Raptors is kind of okay because it's a lot of purple. The Lakers isn't bad. The Celtics isn't bad because they're basically their normal fucking jerseys anyway. But the rest, in the fucking bin. In the bin. Get in the bin. And it's also hilarious that the Thunder have one. So, but they're shit. And the worst part is, Grays. The Clippers is basically, look, it's not fucking Pleasantville, mate. You can have color in your jersey. Oh, but wait, if we go grayscale, that would be real interesting. There's nothing interesting about gray, you fuckheads. Get rid of it. No more gray jerseys. I'm calling it. We're done. It's a moratorium on gray jerseys. No fucking more, because if I'm not mistaken, we have here 3 fucking jerseys that are grey on grey on grey. The Nets are grey, white, and black. You've got the Clippers that are white and grey, and you have the grey on grey of the fucking Blazers. Go fuck yourselves with your horrible jerseys, you idiots. And those Philadelphia ones are the fucking worst. I'll tell you that much, too. Anyway. No more grey fucking jerseys. Ugh. Anyway, next one up. Will the Spurs miss LaMarcus Aldridge? Yeah, nah. I mean, yeah, probably a bit. Because we saw him today. Well, we saw it today, right? They got absolutely fucking towed by the Extreme Zinger Meal. But by the same token, their on-off numbers for LaMarcus Aldridge were way better with him off the fucking court. The point differential just skyrocketed. He is still big. He is still handy. He's also 35. And the Spurs were better off without him all year. So, look, they will miss him a little bit because of that size, because of veteran know-how. But the dude is a fucking massive sook. He's a secret sook. Fuck him. He fucking bitched and moaned his way out of Portland. So I want to be treated like a really famous superstar. But you shit, LaMarcus. Fuck off. They never won anything with you anyway. Go blow it out your ass. And now the Spurs, right in the fucking fight of their lives, in the Western Conference playoff run, and he's like, yeah, no, I want to go somewhere else, hey. It's like, you're a fucking sook, LaMarcus. That said, can he help a team? Yeah, probably. Look, as mentioned, he's still big, can still shoot. He's been shooting threes all right this year. He's like shooting 36% from the three. He's still 35, though.
he's not going to put the fear of God into anybody. But if he goes to your team and he's happy coming off the bench and not being a fucking sook, then he could probably help you. Otherwise, look, he's not going to be the missing piece for anybody. That's kind of it. He will help? Yeah. Is he the missing piece for a title contender? Probably nah. Speaking of which, does he work best on the Clippers, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. Of all the people who could sign him, the Clippers seem like one of the teams where he might be best suited. Like, he works as a better offensive fulcrum than Zoobs, and he probably will work very well again with Kawhi. Yeah, remember last time? They were pretty bloody good. But, I mean, that combination of Serge, Zoobs, Mook Morris, and LMA with Paul George, with Kawhi, I don't know. Look, it's pretty good. It doesn't scare the fuck out of me, though, if I'm a other team. But anyway, look, should he go back to the Blazers then? Yeah, nah, fuck him. Just out of spite as well. But also, Kanter's better, and you've got Nurk coming back soon anyway, and you're not going to play him and fucking Nurk next to each other. He's not a power forward. People who are like, oh, he's a big power forward. No, he's been playing center for fucking years in San Antonio. So I don't think there's a real need for him there in the Blazers. And also, fuck him. Would it be gnarly for him to go to Chicago though, Jimmy? Yeah, nah, you know what? Probably. Because finally we get him there. Send back Tyrus Thomas. Tyrus Thomas goes to San Antonio and away we go. But also, how about an Otto Porter for LaMarcus Aldridge trade? I don't know if it helps Chicago that much at all, but at the same time, Otto Porter's not really helping Chicago that much at the moment, is he? Ugh, tough scenes. But LaMarcus Aldridge, look, of all the other ones, does he help Boston? To be honest, probably not. Tristan Thompson's probably more handy for Boston at the moment than LaMarcus Aldridge would be. And you got to remember, they want to trade him. They're not going to buy him out, they reckon, so... You might be up shit creek. So, I don't know. I think LaMarcus Aldridge is wildly, wildly overrated at this point of his career. I don't think he's going to help you too much. So, whatever. I think it's got a bit of a storm in a teacup, as they say. Carson Maddox asks, yeah, nah, Jimmy, given Olgan Ulick's history with Isaac Humphreys, is Olgan the Aussie Brian Windhorst? Yeah, nah, look, Olgan's a combination of Woj and Windy. Breaking news, coming up with good stories. And yeah, it turns out I went to school with Hump Day. And he had a really good story about like what he was doing in LA, hanging out with J-Lo's manager, hanging out with J-Lo, you know, making music, doing cool stuff. It's like, oh, that's kind of nice. It's a really good story. So go check it out. Olgan's a really good dude, friend of the program. Love it. But yeah, Olgan, he's, you know, Australia's premier basketball newsbreaker. So that's good. And I enjoyed that Isaac Humphreys story. Nice. Unpopular opinion of the day for you.
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. The NBA should have less jerseys. Seriously, do we need earned edition jerseys? Get the fuck out of here. It's ridiculous. If you can't come up with anything half fucking decent, then fuck off. We don't need it. Then fuck off. Anyway, halfway mark awards. Do you want to give out some awards? What do you reckon? I think that we bloody well should. And the halfway mark awards for NBA Australia go to... I don't know, Joel Embiid? MVP'd? Yeah, there you go. So in the halfway MVP awards, I'm going to go Embiid number one over LeBron. LeBron was my MVP basically up until the last 3 weeks of the second half of the season, of the first half of the season, because LeBron and AD had been tailing motherfuckers. LeBron looked really good. AD goes. LeBron has to pick up the slack a little bit. Just hasn't been as good. It's a bit weird. Meanwhile, Embiid's fucking kicking ass and taking names. I've got Joker third, Steph fourth, Dame fifth. Ooh. It's pretty fun, isn't it? Embiid, LeBron, Joker, Steph, and Dame. Prove me wrong, kids. Prove me wrong. Rookie of the year, LaMelo. That's right. I had Wiseman in the first quarter because he had been awesome but then got injured. LaMelo's taken over the number one spot. Tyrese Halliburton's number two. Anthony Edwards, number three. Emmanuel Quickley. Erstwhile Knickerbocker, number four. And Tyrese Maxey, number five. Cole Anthony. Bit of a shame that he sort of got injured and co. and shit like that. So, I don't know. But the rest of the rookie class, it's been pretty fun, kind of deep. Lots of stuff's happened. Okoro's come back from injury. He's been good. Obi Toppin's been okay up and down. Denny Avija is making some noise. But then a bunch of the other dudes, it's been sort of little bits and bobs. Isaiah Stewart's been all right. Sadiq Bey's been pretty good. But Maxey's been probably the handiest. Peyton Pritchard has obviously been very good. And quickly, obviously, crushing it. So there's a lot of, you know, stuff going on. It's pretty fun. As mentioned, Desmond Bane as well, crushing it. So good rookie class, I reckon. What else? Defensive player of the year, Ben Simmons ahead of Miles Turner. Rudy Gobert's the stuff they were. And then Giannis, then AD. And Bam probably right there too as well. Patty Mills leading my six-man award because he's Patty Mills. But also, I tell you what, Jordan Jeremy Clarkson is right there. Michael Porter Jr. was probably going to go for six-man, but now he's starting. So fuck him. The homie, Dario Saric, has been really good for Phoenix. We did have Cam Johnson in here for six-man, and the homie is just fucking taken over from him. Shake Milton for the erstwhile 76ers. And Jalen Brunson out of nowhere since he's come back from being injured and then coming back from COVID. He's been fucking tearing it up, and don't be surprised if he makes a really, really big run at the Sixth Man of the Year award. But Jordan Jeremy Clarkson is right there. Patty Thrills, Brunson, good class. Coach of the Year, Monty Williams. Got those Phoenix Suns crushing it. Tibbs is number two. Tyler Jenkins for the Grizz is number three. Frankie Vogues was there at five last time. Probably not going to happen now. Pop was at four. Probably also not going to happen now. Not looking great, but I reckon Doc... Docs are going to come into consideration at four instead of Pop. And at number five, how about we give a little bit of burn to James Borrego of the Charlotte Hornets. Got them right there in the playoff contention. They're looking great. Good shit, man. Terry Stotts as well, as usual. What else? Last one. Most improved player, Jeremy Grant. Jeremy. Christian Wood. What ScoMo's got for Cole. DeJounte Murray. Michael Porter Jr. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And Kobe. Kobe White. Biggest dickhead of the first half. I mean, we had Kyrie and Harden. Not much has really changed there, but Myers Leonard is making a massive, massive, massive run. The biggest surprise of the year, it's probably the fact that the Suns are kicking ass and taking names so much, but also that the Jazz have been so fucking dominant, which is pretty fun. Biggest non-surprise, the fact that Minnesota have been shit and pretty crazy. Most fun team, it's probably got to still be Brooklyn. Just because night in, night out, it's just a wild story. It's a wild scene. They just keep adding wildness to it, which is really cool. And the bloke I want to buy a beer award after the first half of the season is still probably Cat. That poor bugger just needs a bit of a fucking helping hand, doesn't he? Biggest sook, it was Draymond. Now Rudy Gobert, Estaba Tower, and Donny Mitchell have made a lot. Big, big run at this. So there you go. Big bunches of sooks. And of course, LaMarcus Aldridge. Huge fucking sook. Right, what about Outback Takehouse, though? After all that, Jesus. It's Thursday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yeah, 2-for-1 blooming onions, because you American Yanks just fucking love deep-frying shit, don't you? That's right. Ask an Australian what a blooming onion is, and they'll say, what, some sort of fucking bush onion, you dickhead? And then slap you. Because Americans will be like, oh, I don't know, man, it's some sort of deep-fried onion, right? And you'd have to tell them to go get fucked. Because that's right, in Australia, no one eats an onion unless it's cooked to black as shit on a barbie then dumped on top of a saucy. Easy as you like. So go eat your fat bastard blooming onions, you fat pricks only. At Outback. Goes great with a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is... Fuck earned jerseys. What we really need is the unearned edition jerseys. That's right. Punish the teams that didn't make the playoffs last year by making them wear the worst jerseys they've ever had. Only at Outback. I fucking love this. I absolutely love it. What better way to punish like the Wizards than make them wear like the horrible like gold Wizard jerseys? You could just make Orlando didn't miss them last year, but it's like, we've got some horrible Cleveland jerseys. That's right, Cleveland. Heaps of those can be worn. Ah, this is easy. There's so many. Like, the Kings are basically wearing, you know, some of their rubbish ones. Ah, it's so good. I love it. You just got to go back in the time machine, come up with their worst historical jerseys, and boom. That'll fucking learn you for not going to the playoffs. Tell me that this is not a bit of a spur in your ass as a franchise. Like, next year... We're going to get fucked because we have to wear these unearned jerseys. That'd be hilarious. Let's do it. Right, anyway, let's go take a break. Be back with Australian Player Watch right after, let's say, hump day.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Let's talk about Knowable really quick. Chris Paul, Scott Kelly, and Alexis Ohanian. What have they all got in common? They're really smart. That's right, they've all got incredible experiences, and they've created audio courses to teach you what they've learned. It's on Knowable. That's right, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach new skills in bite-sized audio courses. It's a little short like a podcast, expert-led like it's an audio book, but it's also 100% ad-free. It's like Spotify for learning stuff, which I love. So yeah, go check it out. The bloke from NASA, Scott Kelly, is out there teaching lessons about space. Chris Paul talks about the performance benefits of a plant-based lifestyle. And Alexis Ohanian, the Reddit co-founder, teaches you how to launch a startup. And there's over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new. So if you're keen, go learn some new stuff today. Download the Knowable app. Visit knowable.fyi. That's knowable.fyi. Download the app. Use the code STRAYA. Get 20% off and go get smart today. It's sick. I love them. Just bloody well do it, would you? Nice. Right, Australian Player Watch. Easy one today. Paddy Thrills. Paddy Mills in the loss versus the Mavs. He played 29 minutes. He had 14 points. He shot 5 of 9 from the floor, 3 of 7 from downtown. 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 steal. And on the other side of that was Greeny, Josh Green, back from the G League bubble. And he copped a did-not-play coach's decision. Oh, that's a bit rough, isn't it? Tell me about it, Jesus. But how about the other blokes in the rest of the G League playoffs or whatever? Well, it turns out, in a bit of, a bit of shitness, none of them really got going, you know? Will the Thrill Magne didn't get back out there for the last game for the Erie Bayhawks when they got absolutely towed by the Lakeland Magic. And that's about it. The Rio Grande Valley Vipers got killed by Santa Cruz. And Willie McDowell-White, look, he was all right. He played 19 minutes. He had 0 points on 0-3 shooting, though. 4 rebounds and 3 assists. So, bit tough, though. Bit tough. What can you say? What can you say? Right, the sweaty, hairy bloke of the week this week goes to... My name is Jonas Valanciunas. I loved it. My favourite part about the Davis Bertans dunk was not the fact that Jonas put his giant arm on fucking Davis's Latvian Ryan Anderson's head, but just how sweaty My Name is Jonas got, and just how much fucking Davis Bertans, hello, stupid Amish bid, would have been sweating in it. And just swimming in it. And swimming in Jonas's sweat. Oof. It's like, why does this sweat smell like goulash? but I love it. My name is Jonas. He's got one of the best beards in the NBA. He's fucking massive. He's a sweaty, hairy bloke of the week. It's pretty easy. Thing is, he deserved it. He put 29 and 20 on the fucking old mates the Wiz today. So, pretty bloody good. All right. The Paddy Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Actually, a bit of a sad one today. Because Jinglin' Joe Ingles tweeted out today, an Instagram post. The last several days has really hurt. 7 years ago, I met you, Dougie Fresh. You became one of my closest friends here. You light up any room you walked into with your smile and a terribly long bad story. I loved every minute I spent in your company and our long chats about everything and everything on the massage table. You asked about Renee and the kids every single day. You cared so much about them and I'll never forget that. I promise to be there for your beautiful family, Melissa and the girls, anytime, any day. Whatever they need, I'll be there for them. Thank you for so many amazing memories. It hurts so bad you're gone, but I'm so glad I got the time I did with you. Rest in peace. I love you, Doug. Oh, Joey. That's a tough one. It's super sad, man. Super sad. But Joe Ingles, legend, out there looking after his mates, even when they're gone. Nice one. All right, let's do the game previews for tomorrow.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane. We went 2 of 2 on the head-to-heads today. We had Dallas and we had the Grizz. Nailed those. So that leaves us at 336 of 594 for the season. Pretty bloody good. Pretty bloody good. But tomorrow we have a big, big, big day. Big Friday.
It's a Thursday night, America.
And we've got a Friday huge slate in Australia. So we have Charlotte hosting the Detroit Basketball Pistons. The Hornets are 5.5-point favorites. I'm taking Charlotte in a fucking heartbeat at -5.5. They're going to kill Detroit. Detroit are shit. I'm taking Charlotte minus 5.5. Boston, go to Brooklyn. Now, Boston, a couple of dudes at the All-Star game. Same with Brooklyn. Brooklyn, sans KD, sans Blake. I actually kind of like Boston here. If they get Marcus Smart back, look, could usually throw a little bit of a wrench in there, but they're getting 3 points on the road, Boston. I'm going to take Boston plus 3. I think Tatum has a big game. I think Jaylen Brown will get going as well. Going to see what Brooklyn's lineup, sans KD, can do against a pretty good team in Boston, and I think Boston will handle them. So give me Boston plus 3. Atlanta, a 1.5-point favorites over a OG Fred Van Vliet and everybody lists Toronto, Tampa Bay Raptors. I think Atlanta can win this one. So give me Atlanta minus 1.5 with the skeleton crew of Toronto on the other side. You've got Norm, you've got Big Booty, but I still think Atlanta maybe just turn the switches here a little bit and come good in the second half of the season. Orlando, a 6.5-point underdogs against Miami in Miami. I'd usually take Miami, but Miami just haven't been blowing out teams this year that much, not on the reg at least. I'm going to take Orlando plus 6.5. I think Vooch comes back from All-Star feeling good. If Fournier's okay to go, I think they'll be all right and they can stick around in this. They might still lose, but I think they cover plus 6.5. Philly, no Simo, no Embiid, no hope. Give me Chicago minus 2 at home against Philly. The New York City Knickerbockers of New York City taking on the Milwaukee Algonquin for the Goodland Bucks. New York, 11-point underdogs in Milwaukee. Oh, I kind of want to take the Knicks, and I will, because this is my show, and I make the decisions. Give me the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City plus 11 against the Bucks. I think the Bucks, look, they're good. I think they win this by about 8 or 9. I think the Knicks are just good enough to stay within pissing distance, even on the road. Give me New York City plus 11. Minnesota and New Orleans. Now, Minnesota, there's a team that doesn't have any direction whatsoever. They keep getting blown out. Give me New Orleans minus 8 in a heartbeat. Dallas, OKC. OKC are 6.5-point underdogs at home against Dallas on a back-to-back. I'm taking OKC plus 6.5. Thank you very much. Even if it's the time where OKC go, we really need to tank, hey? Dallas on a back-to-back, it might just be a little bit too much for them to absolutely kick the shit out of OKC. So I think this is close. Even if Dallas win it, I think it's a very close game. So OKC plus 6.5. Golden State take on the Clippers in LA. The Clippers are 7-point favorites at home. I'll take the Clippers there. Too many weapons to slow down Steph and co. So I like the Clippers minus 7 easily. Phoenix at Portland. Chris Paul and co against Dame. This is a really tricky one. I kind of like Portland at home, but I might take Phoenix. They've just got too many dudes. Even if Booker's not good to go, I think Phoenix should be okay, even with Chris Paul just sort of handling everything. But you never know with Dame. So that's not going to surprise me if I blow that one. And Sacramento against Houston. Sacramento are 4.5-point favorites against Houston. Love it. Give me Sacramento minus 4.5. Sweet as! There you go. Go to PlayUp Australia. That's playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up and get around their NBA specials. Remember, bet responsibly, be over 18, be a legend. Right, that's it for today. We are back tomorrow for that massive slate. It's going to be a huge Friday show. Love that. Always fun. So make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all over the socials all the time. Get around World Wrestling Australia with Adam over there on YouTube. He is doing great stuff at the moment. Absolutely loving World Wrestling Australia. Adam is absolutely smoking because this week, look, he's got all the highlights from that Shaq Cody Rhodes match and he's got his action figure giveaway. He's asking, is there a return of the Four Horsemen? I'm like, oh shit, I don't know. Better find out. Go watch World Wrestling Australia with Adam from FWCI, etc. Go, you know, check and subscribe. Yeah, fuck yeah. SmashNBAAustralia.com/shop. Buy some merch. Buy a hoodie. Buy a t-shirt. Go on. Chuck us a rating review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on the Android phone. If you do, help out by subscribing and, you know, rating and stuff. It really does help. So help us out. I'm going to say help a couple more times. TheDailyLiquor.com. Go there. Use the code Straya. Be over 18, obviously. Get a free sixer. Go to Knowable.fyi. Use the code Straya. Get 20% off Knowable. And also huge thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their album Running Out of Time is out now. And also big thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Should I, Green, 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 and Dozers. For all the tunes that you hear throughout the show, give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify, whatever. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, and so should you! Woo! All right, and we're going to close out today's show with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And lederhosen.
Oh, kia ora, brew. Stephen Holmes here, brew. Oh, just pop on by for my weekly diary entry, brew. Oh, so here goes, Oh, dear diary, brew. It's me, Stephen Adams, brew. Oh, but you knew that, because you're my diary, brew. And you know all my deep, dark secrets, Like how on this all-star break, brew, I just saw a body floating down by the river, And I was all frozen about it, You know, frozen? I just let it go. Let it go. And I figured somebody else would, you know, fix it or whatever. So I feel a bit weird about that, but hey, I don't need that stress, So shush, don't tell anybody about that. Okay, so yeah, very chilled out week for me, brew. I got my Airbnb, brew, down the coast, and all I did, brew, was just some sitting, and some thinking, and some cooking, and some fishing, brew, and I gotta say, it was the best, I needed that chill out time, Just me sitting around in my last little cottage, brew, down on the coast here in Louisiana, brew, wearing my jandals, drinking some Dr. Pepper's, brew. And the best part was, I did some fishing, brew, and I caught a bunch of flathead, and some cutfish, and also put out some yubby bait for the crawfish, And I caught a heap of them, brew, so it was sweet as. So all I did then, on like the first and second day, brew, was I cooked up a giant pot of gumbo, Gumbo, it's sweet as. So with all that flathead, brew, and the cutfish, and the crawfish, I ate it for like 6 days straight, brew. It was a really good gumbo, I'll tell you what, And there's one thing for sure, It was delicious. I got some chorizo, brew, from my best friend Zion's mum. She's like, here you go, Stephen, brew. This is some chorizo that I made. It's really good, It's like a sausage, brew. And I'm like, oh, sweet thing, Zion's mum, So I took that with me, brew, and bung. It was the best all-star break ever, brew. That was the best gumbo you could ever have, It's just a really big soup. So, yeah, it was a great little break. So, but now I'm home, brew, back feeding Zion his sleepy time beignets when he's asleep, just putting some beignets in his mouth, brew, and he's munching on them, brew, it's pretty sweet, And, cooking up a storm of hungies, brew, for the second half of the season, So, yeah, there's a bunch of them out in the backyard, brew, I better go check on them, Better get cracking, so that Zion doesn't eat them all before they're all cooked, brew. We can't afford to get him sick, So, till next week, brew, cheer, love, Stephen Adams, brew.